You damn right. Hope everybody's having a good Friday. The only bad news is you're not hearing the badass Trey Elling intro right now, because Trey Elling is helping to redefine the way golf is played in Bastrop. It is Mullet Open Day. They are on the course. We are here in the wonderful clubhouse bringing you the show, and we're going to tell you all about the Mullet Open. We are going to discuss Saban and Fisher. We are going to discuss basketball. We're going to get into a lot of stuff. I'm Chad Hastings, joined for this segment by the man that makes the Mullet Open possible. He is out here doing it all. You hear him on B&E every morning, and he is Mr. Mullet Open himself, Bucky Godbolt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic on a great day. It really is.
Man, we're going to have some fun out here. We always always have fun with this tournament. Also, back in the Horn studio, the man who gets it done. I do not have all the cool things to say that Trey has to say about him. Not because I don't like Zay. I love Zay. I just can't do the cool intros.
You need me to do
like
anything?
Trey does. Would you like to intro Isaiah for the people?
No, no. It's just going to get real racist. Yeah, here we go. Kool-Aid and cornbread.
Hog maw.
There's no need for that.
Big feet.
You know, we need to be
greens and potato salad eating.
Bucky, we need to be about busting stereotypes.
What? That, I don't understand where that comes from.
So here's what we do. I want to introduce to the people the legend himself, the Barbra Streisand fan, Isaiah Collier.
What's up, Zach? I appreciate that. Yeah. Putting Barbra Streisand out there levels out the playing field a little bit.
Mary J. Blige listening to
me.
Then he says that.
like we say every time Zay is on with us, he does get into the cool spooky white chicks when it comes to music. So I can't wait to hear what he's got for us today. But we are at the Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. Thanks to obviously Hyatt Lost Pines for having us out. Thanks to our crew for getting things set up. Derek, BJ, Christina are out here. BK is out here. Brad Kellner,
goodness,
our former co-worker and Houston sports radio legend now, has come back to hang out, Bucky, for the tournament. So that's got to be cool for you. I heard Aaron saying it this morning that this tournament has become a little bit of a yearly reunion in a way.
It is, yes.
Because you end up seeing the people, the golfers, the people that are helping out. Just everybody keeps coming back every year.
Because I basically don't want to see them any more than once a year. That's how I –
right.
But I do see
like
them
a family
once a year.
Reunion.
Yeah, like a family reunion,
yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
You know, the old uncles and everybody else that show up. But it's a wonderful crowd. We had a wonderful crowd yesterday at the Mini Mullet, brought to you by Austin Cocktails. It was fantastic. They did a good job. But this one's about what Tito's does. And Tito Handmade Vodka. They've been with me now for 21 years.
Oh, you're speaking my language now.
Yes. And yeah. And they've got their stuff everywhere. They got their product everywhere. And it's been, you know, as Tito has moved out closer to where those actual – the Burke Center for Youth is out there in Driftwood, Texas. Mm-hmm. He is dedicated to over 10,000 charities around the world. 10,000 around the world. And the Mullet Open was one of the very first charities, in the top five charities that he was doing. So.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of grandfathered into about $40,000, $50,000 a year worth of product.
That is fantastic.
And I don't drink.
That is good. That's more Tito's for everybody.
That's right.
More Tito's for the rest of us.
How about that, Zay?
That is good.
Thank goodness I don't drink.
Tito's has taken over in such a great way. It is all over the place, and I love Tito's. And now I've learned, Bucky, for the people that are out here, for the people that are on the course or are going to be, you know, coming out later on for all the all cool raffle stuff and all that, these Tito's koozies, that's first-rate koozies.
Is it?
You know I'm a koozie.
I know you are.
I'm a koozie snob. And the koozies that they've got out here, the black Tito's koozies are fantastic. So shout out to Tito's. And then you mentioned them, Bucky, what this is all about, the Burke Center for Youth. Tell people a little bit about what the Burke Center does.
It houses 32 young boys at their facility 24/7. They go to school there. They have breakfast there. They have dinner there. They are a part of it. They're wards, kind of wards of the state.
Mm-hmm.
And once they reach a certain age, you know, once you hit 18, it's time to go. And it used to be where you were, once you were 18 and out of that foster age, guess what they had to do? They had to almost drop you off right there. They couldn't take you anywhere. You were done.
It's kind of all bets are off at that point.
All bets are off. Yeah. You're 18 years old. You know, but, you know, now they have housing for them as they get developed, getting a license, a job. They're there. They have facilities there to take care of these young boys. And it is it's special. These are young guys that things have happened to them, no fault of their own, as they grew up, some taken away from their families for reasons that needed to be. And some of them just have had problems throughout their lives. But this is where they're housed right now has been going on for an awful long time. And as I call them, headmasters there. I've gone through about three or four different ones. But Steve right now is the leader of the bunch. He's been fantastic. And what he's doing with those young men and developing, you know, young men that are going to have to go out in society, whether they continue on with their education, who knows. But these are young guys that can use jobs in any field, whether they're – I don't care if you're, you know, like ABC Lawn and Pest, those folks like that, people are hiring young men. This is the place to go. They're regimented. They have schedules. They're on their schedules. Mm-hmm. They want to better themselves, and they just want a chance at life where they didn't get a chance at an early age. And they are fantastic young guys. I met one of the kids that we used to actually do a football camp leading up to the Mullet Open mm-hmm. the same week until I just got old and said, I can't do this.
Right.
There's just no way for me to do both. And I remember meeting a kid at I was having dinner at Trudy's, and he came up and he said, Coach, do you remember me? And I looked at him like, not. He goes, I was at your original camp that you did at St. Michael's Academy. And he goes, I'm working here at Trudy's now.
Wow.
And he said, this is the greatest thing, going to that camp and getting to meet other, you know, other young boys that have had some good things happen to them. And he said, this was the greatest experience that I've ever had. And now I've got this job, and I'm just a bar back. And he said, but I have a job. I went and I got a job leaving the Burke Center. And that's all I want to see is some of those guys. And most of them, I want to see them all succeed at whatever they try to do.
Yeah, that is fantastic. So, again, the Burke Center for Youth, if you are interested, if you hear Bucky talk about it, you've always wanted to try to help out and maybe donate, well, today's your day. BurkeCenterForYouth.org. That's Burke with an E at the end of the word. BurkeCenterForYouth.org. There is a donate button right there on the website. So if you're not a part of the Mullet Open, if you're not playing this year, you're not going to be able to get out here and all that kind of stuff and help out with the raffle and maybe try to get some of that stuff, go to BurkeCenterForYouth.org and you can just donate that way.
And, so, you know, we had to make changes. You know, we had picked up a second charity, of course, the Refuge Ranch. But there have been some events at the Refuge Ranch that most people do know about by now.
Mm-hmm.
There were some, I don't know if you call them improprieties, but some things happened where the governor of the state of Texas and the Texas Rangers are involved. And because of the sponsors, I made that decision to say, no, we can't be involved right now until certain things are fixed. And I said, I've had people that have backed away from the table with me because they wanted to know, what are you afraid of? Well, I'm not afraid of anything. But I definitely don't want to upset the governor of the state of Texas or the Texas Rangers when they're investigating stuff right now. And I said, well, if everything gets straight, we will be back to look at what's going on because these young ladies are somebody that desperately need help. And they have been sex trafficked, and that place was a place for them, a safe haven. But if it's no longer a safe haven, then I can't take sponsors' money and put it towards that until that is all fixed. And so if they want us to be a part of it, they can wait. Yeah. You know, right now the girls aren't even on the campus. Out here in Bastrop, as a matter of fact, it houses about 70-some young ladies. It's the biggest facility in the country, and it only houses 70. That's how sex trafficking, that's how people look at it. Is it that important? We don't really want to talk about it. But people have this idea that sex trafficked young girls are girls from across the border. Most of sex trafficked young girls are domestic. They're girls in your neighborhood. They're middle school teenagers. They're high schoolers, you know, and it's everywhere, and it's mostly domestic trafficking. And, you know, as you have a daughter, you know, I tell guys, if you have an argument with your daughter, finish the argument that night. Don't ever let right. them don't ever let them leave the house angry at you and say, I'll be back. No, they don't get to leave the house. They get you fix that problem, you fix that argument, talk it out that night. They don't get to go, and somebody else thinks they're their daddy, you know?
So the Mullet Open rolling on out here. What number Mullet Open are we at here?
Number 21.
21 for the Mullet Open, 21st annual Mullet Open. And I see the 25s on the Tito stuff.
25 years with
celebrating 25 years.
And you've seen the cake out there.
I've seen it. Christy at Cakes Rocks does some amazing work. She's done incredible stuff at some of our events through the years. This year, I mean, we keep saying she outdoes herself, but she pulled off a Tito's golf bag cake. That is phenomenal.
And then you put it on your shoulders and walk around with it?
Yeah, she's at that level where the biggest compliment you can give her is it doesn't look like a cake.
That's it.
Yeah. I've asked her so many times, how much of that can you actually eat? Oh, all of it. You can eat all of it. Really?
Some of it's got Rice Krispie treats in it.
Unbelievable stuff. So Cakes Rocks is out here, and they're going to be enjoying that a little later on.
Of course, Tom McKay's out here. Yesterday gave away a 55-inch LG TV, today an 86-inch will be given away. And everyone, I mean, you name them, you name his sponsors, Brown Distributing, Tito's, AB Consultation, Whitestone Brewery, you name it on our radio station, they have given something into this and more.
If Tom McKay is done heckling golfers at around one or so, he may join the show. Brad Kellner is going to go hit the lazy river and yell at some golfers, and then we'll be back at 2 o'clock. So we are going to have some special guests dropping by.
Be careful if you got a teen out of that lazy river.
And of course,
or a wife.
Yeah, because I was going to say, before we started, you were talking about where, you know, your wife is out having a good time. And but, you know, I'm sure BK will make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure your wife stays safe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he
Absolutely.
Will.
Absolutely. So we wanted to definitely start, though, with Bucky talking Mullet Open and out here at the beautiful Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. This is kind of my neck of the woods, even though I've never been out here.
This is the first time you've done a show out here.
I've never done the show. Yeah, I've never really been able to do the show out here before.
We'll get them all out here eventually.
And it is fantastic out here. This clubhouse out here with the fans and the air conditioning. Dude. Oh, my goodness.
And you've heard the stories of this did not used to be air conditioning.
Oh, yeah. That's why I hadn't been out. I kept hearing how hot it was. And it's like, Chad, why don't you ever come out? I was like, well, I don't want to boil
Dude,
while I'm doing a show.
It used to be so hot in this deal without this glass and these air conditioners and these fans. It did absolutely nothing. They would come off and start sweating right into their food.
Yeah, so now I can just be the stuck-up old man who only
it's
wants
wonderful.
Air conditioning. So a lot of stuff to get to in the world of sports today. We'll get you an update on the PGA Championship, where there is an American name that you know that's now tied with Rory McIlroy for the lead. Also, got to get into some of this college football stuff. I want to get Bucky's thoughts on Saban and Fisher and where college football is right now. Let's jump on in with the spec set piece. Here we go.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. When it's time to kick off the Austin FC match, say big at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
And we were giving Tito's Handmade Vodka some love earlier.
If you're like me,
that's where you get your Tito's.
Yeah, they're at Specs.
I hit the Specs in Elgin for that particular bottle of Tito's. I'm almost in the need of another one. I'm working on a bottle of Tito's right now. All right, Bucky. So yesterday was a wild day for us in sports talk radio. You guys you got the Saban part during your show. Mm-hmm. Then you knew the Jimbo part was coming. And then this morning you guys got a chance to really fully digest this back and forth. So I'll just let you kind of go whichever angle you want to start with. What are you making of this whole Saban, Jimbo Fisher, college football thing that's going on right now?
I'll go the code. Why are you guys messing with the code? You know better than that. Both of you guys understand, and Nick Saban understands what the code is. You don't go public and talk about another coach and what he's doing. You've got your people. There's no need for you to publicly go out there and start, whether it's they got the number one class or the number 500 class. There's no reason for you to do that publicly. And he knows better than that. Nick Saban knows better than that. And Jimbo Fisher, he's going to come back at you. And rightfully so, he should come back. He worked on your staff. When you start talking about other people and you have guys that have actually worked on your staff, well, your kitchen better be pretty clean when you do that, when you take on that.
And that was the extra impact. When Fisher's talking about it, we all know he's worked with him.
Yes.
So when Jimbo is saying, just go look at how he does his business, you're like, oh, my God, you're trying to really blow the lid off of this thing. What are you doing?
And then when Jimbo continues to go on, just stop. Just stop.
Absolutely.
Don't put Bobby Bowden's name in. Yeah, you worked on Bobby Bowden's staff. And now are you seriously going to tell me that, okay, I worked for Bobby Bowden. So what do you want me to say? Oh, that's clean and good. Are you kidding me? Bobby Bowden, rest his soul. But that guy was the king.
Well, yeah, and I thought the same thing.
That guy is the king.
He laid him out. You know, sometimes you work with a Bobby Bowden and you know what to do, and then sometimes you work with others and you learn what not to do. And I'm like, wait, I've heard some stuff on Bobby Bowden. Like, really?
I recruited against Bobby Bowden in the state of Florida, and I was one of the lowbrow guys at Boston College. Like, really?
It's like, you could tell me some
stories. They're ready to run me out. You just don't tell the stories. Just leave it be. That's between you and other coaches when you talk about what's gone on. I can't get to this player because Bobby's already sent such and such over there to talk with him. Okay, that's fine. You know that. But you don't go back and then get in the newspaper, have a guy like Brian Davis say, well, you know what? I was on the road recruiting, but this is what – you don't do that.
Yeah,
that is the code. You leave that be.
It's interesting you phrased it that way. You said the code. I was talking to Brad Kellner earlier, and he used the phrase from The Godfather, don't talk outside the family, don't go outside the family, as kind of the thing. But, yeah, the code of it all. But also, it was almost – you're exposing your own business.
And you're exposing others in the past. You just exposed Bobby Bowden. I mean, he can't say that with a serious face and not know what had happened in the past where he worked at.
Right.
That's not possible.
Yeah, and if you have a comment on it today, I'm sure the Specs text line will be fired up, 337-3776. Let us know what you think. But
you're helping to the downfall of our sport.
Well, so last night, just to update everybody, yesterday afternoon, by the time we were getting done with our show at 3, Ross Bjork, AD at A&M, is saying some things that this crossed the line. It crossed the, you know, it violated SEC sportsmanship bylaws, and everybody had fun with that phrase. But in the end, he was right, and Greg Sankey has sanctioned both coaches. And, Bucky, if I'm Greg Sankey and I could get those two guys in a room today, I would lose my mind on both of
absolutely.
Them. Like, really, fellas, this is what you chose to do? Because they both tried to really illegitimize the other. They both tried to say he's a fake, he's a fraud, he's cheating, he's not doing it the right way. They both accused the other one of that.
And what you do is you put that on the whole entire SEC. Now, people can have their thoughts about what they think of what SEC football is about and what it's been about in the past. But why bring that to light? That's where you work. You work for these universities.
Right.
Why would you put your own university, the University of Alabama out there, or Texas A&M? Why would you do that? There's no reason to do that. If one guy wants to say something bad about you, there's no reason to fire back. Now, if you fire back, to me, if by the way, if Nick Saban has some real-life stuff, tell us what it is. Since you're bringing it all out, tell us who got paid, when they got paid, because obviously you don't say those things unless you already know something.
Yeah.
Well, then tell us so we can all say, okay, you're right. Yeah. It's been proven that it's right. In other words, it's just bull right now.
Yeah,
you're just upset.
That's the part of it that I wish a media member had followed up and at least asked the question, because they both accused the same thing. So to Saban, I would say, all right, if he bought a player and you didn't.
But Nick Saban said every player.
Right. Define that for me, Nick. Tell me what he did with every single recruit, and how do you know that? And tell me what you didn't do with every single recruit. And then for Jimbo, just turn it around on him. Jimbo, he's accusing you of something. You clearly have a sense of it because you're so mad and upset. Tell me what you're not doing. Nick thinks you are.
Let me just say this. If I said and accused Jimbo Fisher of every one of your players is bought, then if I'm Nick Saban, I'm going to at least give you one example where it's really true, because that means you're telling us that you know that they were all bought. Give us one example.
Even if you don't name the kid, right? Don't say the kid's name.
Yeah.
But maybe give an example of, hey, look.
What hometown he's from. I don't care. Yeah. Well, let me not say his name.
Bucky, let me give you an indicator of what it might be, because here's some of the Nick Saban stuff people aren't talking about. I think if we want to really find out what's going on in college football, I do think Nick is an interesting guy because he's at the top of the sport. And for some reason, the last year or so, he started running his mouth, complaining about parody, about whatever. And again, I think he's Darth Vader
The czar thinks he's got it going on.
He's like Darth Vader complaining about the light and dark side. It's really weird, but he's doing it anyway. So here's the quote from that little get-together that isn't being talked about a lot. Quote, it's gotten completely out of control and not a sustainable model. It's to the point – this is when he was on the radio show yesterday trying to explain himself and back up. It's to the point where you've got these attorneys, agents – calling collectives and saying, pay my player $100,000 a year. They want their piece of that. They all want a cut. I think that might get to the point better than anything else can. He's now having to deal with a collective, agents, and attorneys. And it's not that he hasn't maybe dealt with them before, Bucky, but now there's more people trying to get a cut and trying to get in on whatever he's got going on. And it's kind of
He's dealt with them before, but it was under that. No, I don't have to deal with them.
Under his table.
Here's that, and I don't really have to deal with them at all. Now, because I am supposed to understand this NIL deal, I should understand what's going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't. Well, you do know what's going on.
Yeah, and there's a weird messaging going on here. And again, Nick just turned 70 on Halloween, and if he does have something set up, it just feels like something has changed. And I don't know if it's just Jimbo, I don't know if it's just A&M, or if there's a collection of things, but something's got Nick bothered right now. I mean, Bucky, he sounds like the Wyoming coach half the time.
I know.
When he says we need parity, it should all be fair. I'm like, are you really at Alabama?
Yeah,
I'm
really
confused.
It's always been fair, right?
Right. And that way, you heard what Jimbo said.
Well, that's why they need a commissioner of college football, or a commissioning branch where they all trust. And I take all the coaches out. I put the presidents of the unit. I'm not saying that they're all on the up and up, but I'll say this. They're more on the up and up than the coaches are.
You think it's better than coaches or ADs?
Oh, yeah. Just give me the presidents whose job is for that whole entire university to make sure everything's done right. you start finding a commissioner or a commissioner's staff that you trust, you can look at your head coach and go, I'm not worried about you. We have a commission that we as presidents decided for the benefit of our universities, not for your football team. But by the way, most big universities, the football team is more important than what's going on in the classroom there anyway.
No doubt.
Because
no doubt.
The University of Texas, Texas A&M, all the schools that we're talking about, what would they be without their football programs?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so a couple texts already rolling in that says this stuff will someday drive Nick out into retirement and out of the business. Players will tell it. They can't be quiet. A lot of people apparently can't be quiet. It's not about players right now. These coaches don't want to be quiet.
Right.
We'll continue to talk about it. If you have thoughts, 337-3776, Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher both reprimanded by the SEC yesterday, and that's not the first time.
And that's all they're getting is just a little reprimand?
Yeah, for whatever that means. I don't know. I haven't heard about a fine or anything like that, but the SEC's had to do it before, Buck. Years ago when Lane Kiffin went after Urban Meyer, they called all 12 coaches together and said, shut up. And then before that, it was when Phil Fulmer served a subpoena at Media Days regarding his contact with an Alabama recruit because the Bama folks reportedly were trying to get him in trouble, and they had to try to calm all that down.
By the way, this makes for nasty blood throughout the coaching staffs of both of these two. It's not just two head coaches. These guys go on the road against each other. At times they're alleged friends. They sit and meet and have a drink together. This will get nasty. When the SEC convention comes together, when they have their little deal, people may be throwing down to back in their schools. I'm serious. There could be a throwdown here.
Right.
And it's now, then it gets to be real stupid.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. It's already stupid enough with NIL because eventually the downfall of all that is when the players themselves start getting mad at each other in locker rooms before games when one guy says, I'm not playing today or I'm not doing this. It's going to get to that point because there's always somebody that is hurt feelings or whatever. Somebody's making more money. That when that starts, that will be the ruination, the damnation of this whole college football thing. When the players themselves start getting mad because another guy's making $5,000 or $2,000 more, forget the $100,000 more than the other guy. Mm-hmm. Just the simple, why is he getting paid like this? And you get in the locker room and you have brawls in the locker room. That's where it all is going to get destroyed, when the players start saying, guess what, I'm not showing up on Saturday.
All right, Bucky, I'm going to let you get back to the work because I know you
got
still a lot of stuff to do. The Mullet Open is out here. Bucky's been nice enough to give us a little time. Thank you for joining me. Stay cool.
Yeah, you know what? I love college football, but I'm really just looking at these guys now that play the game as just professionals. You're a professional. You're a professional player to me. You can call them student-athletes all you want to. Mm-hmm. But they're professional football players in the world of football right now.
Yeah.
And when the fighting starts in women's basketball, I'll say the same thing. They're just a bunch of professionals. Guys driving Lamborghinis, you're a pro. You know, I know you represent the university nicely, but you're a pro representative. You're not an amateur.
That is Bucky Godbolt. Check him out every weekday morning at 6 a.m. on B&E. We roll on. Going to have a couple guests drop by here at the Mullet Open. Up next, though, I want to get Zay's thoughts on the NBA. Last night, another blowout in the Eastern Conference Finals. Wait till you hear the stat that is going in the NBA right now. And I'll update you on the PGA Championship. Nick Saban's not necessarily having a great week, but there is an Alabama guy that's starting to have a pretty good weekend. We'll tell you who it is. Coming up, we're at Hyatt Lost Pines Resort in Bastrop. This is the Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Hope you're having a good Friday. Definitely not starting on the alt rock side. Trey's not here, so Zay, are you trying to send like a message to me here? How are we starting off?
No. Just no alt-rock today since Trey Allen's not here, so might as well just get back into the normal groove.
Okay, I got you. Now, this kind of has a little bit of a Hall & Oates vibe to it, but I'm not
you
sure
got
if it's
it.
Them.
It's
I got
them.
It, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A little Hall & Oates. My wife and I were going to go see Hall & Oates. It got canceled, not because of COVID, because of some weird – I don't even know what it was. I was a little sad about that one. You ever seen Hall & Oates live, Zay?
No, I haven't. Sounds like a good show. They're my guys.
I hear it's a great show. Hey, speaking of a great show, Zay, I need your help with something. After I let everybody know what's going on with golf and give them a little reminder here, I got an NBA question for you. So before we do that, though, let me just remind everybody about a couple things. First off, we are out here at Hyatt Lost Pines Resort. Shout out to all the folks that made the Mullet Open possible. They're out on the golf course right now, including Trey. That's why you're not hearing from Trey today. We also have golf at the PGA Championship. And if you are a Justin Thomas fan, you might have something to check out this weekend, because Justin not only shot a 67 yesterday, but he's started out pretty well today. Birdied 10 and 13. He did throw a bogey down on the backside, but came back on the front side and birdied number 5. He's just about to wrap up, trying to shoot, that would be a 68 if he keeps it at par right now. He is minus 5 along with Rory McIlroy, and Rory is going to tee off in about an hour. So Rory shoots a 65 yesterday. Those two guys, nice big names there at the top, Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy. As far as some of the other names you might care about, Scottie Scheffler is not having a good tournament so far. Plus 3 for the tournament. He's plus 2 today through 15 holes. Actually, he's on 15 and he's started on the back 9, so he's still got a little bit to go. So not a great tournament so far for Scheffler. Spieth is at plus 2, and we'll tee off later with Tiger and Rory. Tiger's at plus 4, John Rahm plus 1. So some of those big names are not quite having the weekend they want to. John Daly still hanging in at plus 2. Cross your fingers. Come on. Also, a reminder that you can check out flexatx.com, flexatx.com for all your high school sports stuff. Go to flxatx.com and check out the 7-on-7 schedule. We'll talk more about that and what's coming tomorrow at 1:30 in our Flex segment. We will keep talking Saban and Fisher. I know some people get tired of that stuff pretty quick, but it is a crazy circus, salacious story, and I know a lot of people have thoughts on it. So if you do, keep getting us those texts on the Specs text line, 337-3776. I'll read some more of those coming up. But, Zay, I definitely need your help and the help of anybody out there that believes the NBA is fixed. Now, I don't think you believe the NBA is fixed. Is that correct? You're not one of those conspiracy guys, are you?
I do think there was an era where things were a little fishy.
Oh, okay. A little questionable.
Yeah, that 2002 Western Conference Finals with the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers Game 6. That comes to mind.
Okay. Yep. All right, so for those people that might think there's some conspiracy going on in the NBA, the only favor I need from you is I need you to contact Adam Silver and I need you to contact the league office. You got to do it better than that. As a professional wrestling fan, I'm going to need you to put better, closer product out there if it's truly being fixed. Because last night, Zay, I watched another bloodbath. I watched a 25-point difference between Boston and Miami, 127-102. And I started looking back and I went, wait a minute, last 11 playoff games, we've had a 25, a 25, a 23, a 28, a 27, and a 39-point margin. But then I heard a stat that made it even worse. Zay, do you realize last night was the 21st game in these playoffs that had a margin of 20 or more?
No.
Did you realize that?
No, that's absolutely bonkers.
It's crazy. It's tied for the second all-time. We're not even done. We're not even to the NBA Finals yet. I don't know exactly how to explain what is going on, but as a basketball fan, Zay, I'm a 15 guy. When I tune into a basketball game or am watching a game, when the margin goes to 15 or above, I kind of lose interest a little bit. And when it's at 20, 25, in that range, I'll watch. I'll have it on, but I was pretty disappointed in last night. I did predict Boston would win, but Zay, I didn't think it would look like that, man. Jason Tatum bounces back in a big way. They were able to get, and they got all the guys back too that they needed. Get Smart back, and he plays that well, and get Horford back. He helped out, but I really thought what Smart gave him last night was probably the key.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a little bit different from you, Chad. You're a 15-point mark guy. I like it when it gets above 20 sometimes, because when it gets above 20, that means a team that's up, they're going to start trying some stuff. They're going to start throwing out some crossovers that you might only see at Rucker Park. They might throw some shots that you might only see from Larry Bird and those horse commercials with Michael Jordan and McDonald's. They might start doing some crazy stuff like that. So that just might be the true hooper in me. But, yeah, I'm a little different from you than that. But yeah, the Celtics, they came back last night. Marcus Smart was huge, 24 and 12. He basically had his stamp on the game. And Al Horford, his defense on Bam Adebayo, Bam only had 6 points. And Bam's one of the most versatile players in the league. And the fact that Al Horford is playing this type of defense first round, he was really good against Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Then you move on to the second round, and he was really good in that series playing against Giannis and playing against against Drew Holiday. Now they get him back, and he has to guard Bam out of bio. And at 35, that's just been amazing what he's been able to do. So the Celtics, they're a lot bigger than the Heat, and the Heat have some problems, especially if P.J. Tucker, who got hurt last night in Game 2, if that injury is going to linger on for the rest of the series.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I said, I think if they both keep playing well and stay healthy, I think this is about Boston and Golden State. I think those are the two teams, and now they're both, you know, they're both getting Boston healthier, and that game was big, and the way they played was so impressive. And you mentioned the Adebayo, the defense on him, that's huge, that six-point line. But also, Zay, we talked the other day, it was cool that Jimmy Butler had the game he had, but you can't count on your star to give you 40 every night. He gives you 29 last night. 11 of 18. Didn't have a horrible game by any stretch, but just didn't have the help. Vincent and Strus combined for 20. There was, 14 off the bench for Oladipo. They just didn't have that other guy. I don't know if it would have helped them ultimately, Zay, because they got shredded in this game, but Jimmy Butler's going to need a helper here because you cannot count on him to give you 40 a game in this series.
Yeah, he is, and that's where the sixth man of the year, Tyler Hero, comes to play. He's a guy that averaged around 20 points a game during the regular season, not as much during the postseason, but he's their second-best scorer on that team. And even though he doesn't start, him only playing 23 minutes last night, only 11 points, that's not going to cut it if the Miami Heat want to hoist that Larry O'Brien trophy in early June. So I'm with you, Chad. I don't think Jimmy Butler could carry on this 40 points a game and have these guys be successful. But, I've been a huge Kyle Lowry critic. It seemed like last night they could have really used him.
Yeah, no doubt. And our guy BJ on the end, our onside engineer here, just showed me the stat of minus 33 on the plus minus for Hero, the worst they've had in the playoffs for the Heat. That is a bad number, too. So Boston and Miami tied. I feel like that series is going a while. And then tonight you've got Mavs trying to even it up with Golden State. So, Zay, when I look at this game, as a Mavs fan, I didn't come out of game one upset, screaming, yelling, throwing things. And I don't know how much true adjustment the Mavs can do. Give me a thought on what you'd be thinking if you're Jason Kidd. Could it just be get the same shots but hit them in game two?
Yeah, that's what I say going into this game tonight. You went 11 from 48 from three-point line, 22%, and that's just not going to cut it. Yeah, Luka didn't have the best game, only 20 points, his worst point total of the playoffs, but you know that he's going to bounce back. It's all about those other guys, but you got to give love to the Golden State Warriors. The matchups that Steve Kerr put out there against the Mavs were some matchups that I didn't think were going to happen, like Draymond Green guarding Jalen Brunson. That doesn't make any sense in a normal traditional basketball format, but we're in a new stage of basketball where guys are so versatile in this league, like Draymond, who is the new age version of Dennis Rodman. He's able to sometimes guard Nikola Jokic in the first round. Then you go to the Western Conference Finals and he's guarding the smallest guy on the court for the Mavs. So the Warriors are just a really versatile team, but I think the shots that they missed in game one, I don't think they're going to miss those same shots in game two.
Yeah, for both teams, I mean, again, I'm looking at this perspective from the Mavs fan perspective. I didn't think either team played elite level. And if both teams didn't play elite level and the Mavs still got blown out, now my concern is, okay, if Steph and Clay crank it up a little bit, what are the Mavs going to do with that? But, Zay, I don't know what I'm more impressed with. And this is what I've been watching it for years, just like you and NBA fans have. Golden State can impress you in a lot of ways. I don't know what impresses me more in a game like game one, the movement of the ball itself or the movement of the players without the ball. Because when you put those two things together, it becomes this artwork piece. Like the Steph Curry, I'm double or triple teamed, throw behind my head to Draymond, who knows exactly what he's thinking, while he resets for the three, he gets it to him, Steph throws the three and starts the little prance. I couldn't even be mad, Zay, as a Mavs fan, because they set it up perfectly, and that's kind of what they do.
Yeah, and they're the only team in the league that plays like that. When you're in the playoffs and there's so much ISO one-on-one game with other teams, when then you look at the Warriors and so many guys are moving without the ball, coming off different types of down screens. There's double screens for Steph. There's dribble handoffs with Draymond where, you know, the scouting report says to play off Draymond, but if he's setting the screen for Steph coming off a dribble handoff, then you're going to have to step up, and then that will allow Draymond to slip. So you got to pick your poison when playing them. And if you got guys like Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins who are also cooking along with Klay Thompson, then you're in a world of hurting. We saw that game one with the Mavs.
Yeah, you just named those two guys perfectly. But Wiggins was so impressive in game one. I was already kind of worried about Poole as a Mavericks fan, and then you add Wiggins in. That is tough. Wasn't he the number one overall pick at one point in my life, Zay? Isn't that true?
Yep, that's true. He was a guy from Ontario, Canada that reclassified so he could be that number one pick, and Bill Self picked him up, and he hasn't lived up to that number one status, but he still has that athleticism, and he still has upside, and the Warriors are the perfect team to go to really, you know, tune up your game.
You can't have the number one overall pick be the fifth option on a playoff. Well, come on, man. What are you doing? That's not fair. That's crazy. All right, NBA tonight. It's 8 o'clock TNT for Dallas and Golden State. Can the Mavs do what Boston did? If you're a Mavs fan, you hope it looks exactly like that, right? A blowout win to make it 1-1. We'll see if it can happen tonight. TNT has the Western Conference. Coming up at 1:05, I see him sitting right over there. He's trying to figure out what he wants to talk about. Tom McKay of Audiovisual Consultations has been out on the golf course bugging folks. He will tell you how that went. Plus, I know he's got a thought or two on Saban and Fisher and college football. We'll get back into that. Up next in the crap bag, though, an icon gets a new name. We are at the Mullet Open, Hyatt Lost Pines Resort in Bastrop. Thanks to all of our great partners who made it possible, from Tito's Handmade Vodka to Louis Miller Barbecue. I'm looking up at that food sponsor because I'm kind of hungry. Golden Chick and Smoky Moe's. Thanks to all of those folks for helping us out with the Mullet Open. 21st Annual Mullet Open is underway. They're out on the golf course. Hopefully, they're staying hydrated. I hope you're having a good Friday as well. This is The Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Rolling on a Friday. Oh, man. Isaiah Collier. Oh, hang on. Tom McKay is now sitting here. He's listening to it, Zay. He thinks he knows. I think I've got this one. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Tom, I think she's a pretty redhead. I think she's a pretty attractive country redhead. Do you know her name?
Can't think of it.
Zay, isn't this Patty Loveless?
No, not at all. Linda Ronstadt.
Damn it. This is Linda Ronstadt?
Yes.
Oh, well, she's even
wow.
prettier.
You know what? I think Patty covered it. I didn't know it wasn't her song. My bad. This may be a Linda Ronstadt song originally.
Well, Linda never wrote any of her own music.
This is Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Zay, I'm telling you. Zay's like my musical professor. He ends up teaching me all kinds of stuff I didn't know.
He seems to stump a lot of people.
Or making me look stupid, one of the two. I look at it as a learning experience. He looks at it as a make me look dumb experience. But either way, it's the –
That's okay. If he was trying to guess these, he would look stupider than any of us.
Yeah, no, man. He's got them, man. Hall & Oates and Linda Ronstadt starts us off today. My bad. But double-check me out there, Patty Loveless fans. I think she covered it. I think she did that song at some point. All right. Lots of good stuff going on at the Mullet Open. Tom McKay of Audiovisual Consultations has dropped by. Let's give him a little more love here in the crap bag. I just got something quick to mention, and then we'll get Tom's thoughts on heckling golfers. Here we go. Crap bag time.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
And it is brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. I hear tell there was a big screen given away yesterday for the mini mullet?
A medium screen. Big screens today.
All right, define big screen.
86 inch.
Oh, yeah. 86. That
still,
is nice.
Still the biggest TV made. They're supposed to be coming out with the 98 soon, but they're just not doing anything about anything with this chip shortage, and I am putting my hand quotes up there.
Guys. I got you. Okay, so 86-inch screen will be given away here at the Mullet Open. And remember, if you are out and about and you're at your local Pluckers, local Cover 3, you're watching sports, you're watching the Mavs, Golden State tonight, just take a look around because that is all set up by AV Consultations, and they can do something similar for you. All right, Tom, you can tell me if this makes you sad, too. I'm old enough now that when the names of buildings change in sports, it makes me a little sad. Even if it's a corporate name to start with, they have now announced that the Carrier Dome is no longer the Carrier Dome.
Why?
Right? So in 1979, the Carrier Company, in a very like forward-thinking move, made a deal with Syracuse and the building and the whole thing. And they signed up for about $2 to $3 million a year in perpetuity, just like, we're going to do this forever. And at that point, it was agreed on, but I guess they've had some issues where they wanted to end the deal. So from now on, or at least until this deal runs out, that place where Syracuse will play basketball will be called the JMA Wireless Dome.
That'll last about 6 months. That's foolish.
They had a big ceremony with the CEO of JMA, and I'm sure it's a big wireless deal up there in the Northeast. But the Carrier Dome has been that way since 1979, and it's going to change. So it's just like Wrigley Field to me, where that is the iconic name. Even though it's a company, it's an iconic name, and it kind of needs to stay there. So for a lot of people, that'll always be Wrigley, and a place like Staples Center, even though that's a company, it'll always be Staples Center because that's what it was since you built it. And now it's changed. It's what, crypto.com, I think. And now this one's going JMA Wireless Dome. So Syracuse fans, you got to deal with that moving forward.
JMA Wireless Dome.
Doesn't exactly slide off the lips as easily. I think they'll still call it the Carrier Dome or the Dome, probably.
And that's still Boeheim's territory, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't they just have got like a beer company or somebody to sponsor it? It seems like that would have been a perfect fit.
Maybe a car company?
Something
like that. Yeah. All right, so Tom McKay, Audio Visual Consultations, hanging out at the Mullet Open, big sponsor and partner of ours, but also someone who loves to mess with people. How has your heckling of golfers gone today?
It went really well. We had a lot of fun out there. We went out and gave the sponsor exemption free tee shot to everybody and just moved balls around a lot.
So this is you. You'll just take a golf ball and put it?
Yeah, put it wherever I want.
100 yards in, ready to roll?
Sometimes on the green from 400 out. Yeah, just whatever. If they're nice, if they're playing music, I usually give them a better shot. So everybody listening that's out there right now, play your music louder, and I'll give you a better shot next time.
So you just grab a golf ball and say, hey, you're about to drive a par 4.
You just did really, really well.
You're about to drive the green.
I have an interesting thing, though, and I imagine they might be listening out there because I've never seen them yet, and that's 3 years I've been doing this out there, and I have never run into Trey Elling Jr.'s group out there, even though they say they're playing golf.
Wait a minute.
I think they just go over to the Lazy River and drink and then come in here afterward for the raffle.
So you think Trey might not actually be playing the event?
I think he's hanging out with his kids.
Well, they are here, but he's got the whole weekend to hang out with the kids, right?
Yeah, his kids are pretty cool.
Now, he has talked to – they are. He's talked about how bad his golf game is now because he's not been practicing. He's not been working on it. So is it possible maybe they got to the first tee, he sensed the rust, maybe kicked one into some – hit one into somebody's house or whatever – and or hit the resort or whatever out here, and then just quit?
Very possible. There's no other way that I could miss them every year.
So you went around. You can verify.
I started on the first hole and ended on the 18th hole, and I never saw Trey.
And there's only one cart path that you know of?
Yeah.
You feel like you saw every cart, every golfer?
I saw a lot of folks.
Wow. All right. So Trey Elling may be maybe a little MIA out here. Maybe hiding, sneaking around.
Having a party in some place.
Yeah, that's all right. Fair enough.
He's got Justine to watch the kids, so he could just be partying.
Yeah, well, there you go. Now, she already out here too? Now, that's a big key.
She's here.
Yep. If she's already out here, then that would be the indicator. All right, so as we roll through, we are going to definitely get into a conversation about college football, Tom. I want to get some of your thoughts about where this is all going. And somebody had an interesting text I want to get your reaction to. Specs text line 337-3776 says, it should be noted neither coach has told the other to prove their accusations because, well, they probably won't care. at that point. I'm not sure necessarily if that's the case, but I did find it interesting that there was a quick accusation on both sides, but they never really got into details. They never really got into the true nuts and bolts of, hey, one time Nick did this, or I know that Jimbo just did this. That didn't happen.
I doubt that there ever a coach would ever do that to another coach, because if they did, then it would open the door for every coach to do that to every other coach in the country. And pretty much guaranteed that every coach has done something along the way. Remember, I was at SMU during the death penalty days.
Right.
And I know for a fact, having been a beer joint owner in Dallas at that time as well, that a lot of teams had guys getting paid because they'd come into our beer joints and openly talk about money. And
you're saying not just SMU?
No, UT was doing it a lot, a lot. And that's absolutely fine. As far as I'm concerned, I don't see what the issue is of a booster giving somebody a car or something else if it means that they're, you're on the team, you got to get around, right?
So you can't just walk.
Right. I mean, SMU is a big campus.
Didn't even have Segways back then. Come on.
They have, but it is astounding that these coaches want to sit here and gripe about it after the fact instead of beforehand saying, let's get these rules set first before we allow the NIL to take effect. Because the NIL, the wording in the actual court documents that said that this was going to be allowed make pretty much everything legal other than a coach actually offering the money to a player. The coach is not allowed to offer the money, and that's fine, but doesn't mean any booster can. Me as a booster of University of Texas could right now, by law, go to New York State and offer some guy $1 million to play at UT as an NIL deal, and that's legal.
Mm-hmm. See, that's a distinction. We're going to get into this more, but that's interesting because I'll admit I haven't read the same 15 pages you read through that original the original rule, but I kind of understood that original rule one way, and it feels like things are now either changing or being interpreted different ways. We'll get into that. Let us know what you think as well. The Specs text line is there for you, 337-3776. Saban and Jimbo and all this stuff with college football. We'll dig into that a little bit more. We are out at Hyatt Lost Pines Resort here in Bastrop for the Mullet Open, 21st annual Mullet Open. So get on out here for that. We'll get you the Flex 30 segment coming up and talk some high school football and tell you how you can get out to the 7-on-7 event that is going on tomorrow. And BK himself, Brad Kellner, if he can get out of the Lazy River, is going to join me at 2:05. Cross your fingers. This is the Horn.